This episode contains themes of racial tension and domestic abuse. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Prime Time True Crime Podcast. I'm Robin.
I'm Brody.
And today we'll be covering the case of OJ Simpson. Do you know much about OJ, Brody?
I know more about his case than his actual athletic career.
Yeah, so I found the same. I know mostly about OJ's case, and I've actually learned a lot while putting the research for this one together.
It's interesting that this is a third like sports star turned killer we're talking about, and this is the first one where it feels like the crime has overpowered the performer themselves. Like with Aaron Hernandez, a lot of people talking about his great career and his great potential, and then the crime being like a massive, you know, hindrance and obviously ruined his whole career and his life. And then you look at Chris Benoit, people say like, oh, he's an amazing performer, one of the best, you know, technical wrestlers in wrestling history, and you know, that unfortunate crime. But with OJ, it just feels like people focus on this crime more than OJ himself, and I'm wondering if that's just a case of OJ still being alive or OJ not being guilty.
Well, the other difference as well is OJ had actually retired.
Oh, sorry, it's just when we say not guilty by the court standards, not the civil case. I think he was found guilty enough.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, he's the first one that in the other two were sort of in the middle of their careers, whereas OJ had actually retired. So that's a key difference too.
Yeah.
I found, for those who are more interested in the case as well, I recently watched The People vs. O.J. Simpson on Netflix. I found that a fantastic portrayal of the case, or mainly the case itself and the trial.
They also didn't go too much into his sporting background either, did they?
No, I mean, I think for O.J., his NFL career is always going to be overshadowed.
Isn't he considered one of the best, though?
Yeah, he's broken a lot of records, and he was listed as... It was a top 100 all-star team or something like that. Right.
Just to put it in a sport context, I understand. It'd be like if Lewis Hamilton went out and killed people and we just stopped focusing on him being one of the best, right?
Is it that kind something,
of,
something
He's in that kind of tier, like the very, very top? Or?
Something like that, yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, then. Well, let's get into it.
All right.
All right, so on July 9th, 1947, Orenthal James Simpson is born in San Francisco, California. OJ's father, Jimmy, was a world-known drag queen. He later came out as homosexual, but unfortunately passed away from AIDS in 1986.
Do we know OJ's relationship with his father?
No, I couldn't find any information about that kind of thing, but I'd never heard about OJ's dad at all.
Yeah, once again, we don't really focus much on OJ's life, we just focus on the crime itself.
But there you go. Yeah, he was a drag queen. And passed away 1986, which puts OJ just short of 40.
Okay, cool.
OJ's aunt chose the name Orenthal after a French actor she liked.
Can't say I've heard of the actor.
No, can't say I have either. OJ has one brother and two sisters, one of which has passed. I don't know cause of death in that situation.
Any other siblings found success close to the level of OJ's, or?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, cool.
In 1952, so five years later, OJ's parents divorce and he begins to live with his mum.
Yep.
I don't know why they divorced. I imagine, pure speculation, but it'd be probably to do with maybe Jimmy being homosexual and knowing
Depends
at that
when
time.
When it comes out, yeah.
There's no, you know, no yeah. supporting evidence
It's
for
probably
that.
Not relevant either.
No. During his childhood, OJ developed rickets, which is a condition in children with soft or weak bones, which led to him having a bow-legged stance, which means the lower leg is sort of angled outwards and the rest is inwards. Sort of like a bow in archery. If that makes
sense. Wait, so both feet are kind of angled outwards?
Yeah, so like imagine what, like a bow and
yeah,
arrow.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And OJ wore braces on his legs until he was five.
Oh, okay. So how long did it take to correct just till he was five?
Till he was five to learn how to walk, pretty much, I imagine.
Yeah.
As a teenager, OJ joined a street gang called the Persian Warriors.
Oh, it's such a sick name.
And again, something I never...
That's a sick name.
Something I didn't know, but... Anyway, we'll keep going. I'll stop bringing up every time I learn something new.
Yeah.
He spent some time incarcerated at the San Francisco Youth Guidance Center. After being
so just juvie?
Yes, juvenile
detention.
Juvenile detention. Not too major. No. After his third arrest, OJ met Willie Mays, baseball. Don't know if you know that name.
I've heard the name. I think they do ads. I've heard the name Willie Mays for X here.
Either way, Willie Mays apparently encouraged...
Or maybe I've heard it in a rap song. Either or...
He encouraged OJ to reform and stay out of trouble.
Okay. So kind of like a mentor figure.
Yes. Stay out of trouble. OJ's average high school grades prevented him from being a key prospect for college recruiters in his chosen sport of NFL. So the National Football League in America, for anyone who doesn't know.
I always thought there was a bit of backwards dealing there, where even if the grades were bad, they'd like pay...
Well, that's what happened with Aaron Hernandez. They sort of... Like,
no, but his grades weren't that terrible, were they?
Yeah, they were average. But so were OJ's.
No, you just didn't say OJ's were average.
Yeah, I said OJ's average.
Oh, I thought you said... No, you said average grades were bad.
Oh.
That doesn't mean his grades were average. That means his grades were bad.
How are we doing this? We're arguing about average?
I mean, I do have a teaching thing going on here, so maybe.
Moving on. May 19th, 1959, Nicole Brown is born in Frankfurt, West Germany. It's not clear, it wasn't clear in my research when Nicole's family moved to the US, but I gauged that it would be somewhere in the 60s to 70s because she graduated from high school in America in 1977.
Yep. So what's the age difference between the two?
He was 1947, 1959, so that's
12 years.
12 years.
Yep.
In 1965, OJ was convinced to go to the City College of San Francisco. He chose that instead of enrolling in the military because he saw the impact from the Vietnam War that had on his friend and how his friend's back was like really injured. And,
yeah,
so he decided, no, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
OJ played as a running back and defensive back. So thanks to our friend Jack again, he's jumped in to explain NFL terms to me. But a running back is a person who gets the ball and runs with it. That self-explanatory.
I'm going to call Jack out here too. Spooked by true crime. All right, Captain. He's never going to listen to this, so it's fine.
A defensive back defends the players who are catching the ball down the field.
Okay.
So 1967 to 19...
Is it common to have two roles like that in NFL?
Someone tell us. I don't know much about NFL still. I know plenty about crime.
Because most sports I watch, normally at the top levels... So in his professional career, did he also play both roles?
No, I think he played as a running back, I want to say. Yep. Maybe I mention it.
God, you research and still don't know about his career. What's going on?
So we're between 1967 and 1960...
Because hold on a sec, just on that thought. I assume that most people who... At a young age like that, they probably play one or two positions, but definitely when you get to the higher levels, you don't really play
imagine you try a few positions here and there to see what's
exactly, because like, if you're at the pinnacle of sport, you probably are not proficient in multiple areas or proficient enough to perform at that professional level.
Can we go to 1967 to 1968?
We sure can.
OJ chose to attend the University of Southern California. He played as a running back. There's the answer to your question.
Yeah, so obviously when he gets older, he kind of finds a position he's naturally more talented at.
OJ was very successful playing with them, and he won numerous awards. During this time, OJ married Marguerite Whitley, and they had three...
Marguerite? Are you sure it's how you pronounce that?
Yep.
Okay. Sure it's not Margaret?
No, spelled differently. They had three children together. Their youngest child, Aaron, drowned in a swimming pool.
Oh, so that was together for quite a while, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I think there's at least
10, 15 years. We are not parents.
I didn't do the maths on that one.
Yep.
But yeah, unfortunately, one their youngest son drowned.
Yep.
OJ also aspired to be a track athlete. He, prior to playing with USC, he'd broken the world record in 4 times 110-yard relay at the track championships in Utah in 1967.
So obviously his running speed is just incredible, is what I'm picking up here.
Yeah,
he's overall gifted athlete.
Yes, which makes him a good, I guess...
Running back, yeah.
Running back. In 1968, Ron Goldman is born in Chicago. If you don't know who that is, we will get back to who Ron is.
So what's the age difference? They're all got quite a...
So, OJ's 1947, Nicole is 1959, and Ron is 1968.
Okay, so there's a quite differing age difference between the three here.
Yes.
Yep.
In the 1969 NFL Common Draft, I don't know what the difference between the Common Draft and the NFL Draft is.
Probably just...
It says it was hosted by the Buffalo Bills, so maybe that's...
Maybe it's just a college thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. American sports is so crazy to me.
Can we do an episode on AFL soon?
If an AFL person decides to go on a murder spree, sure.
So the Buffalo Bills took OJ, but OJ demanded the largest contract in sports history at $650,000 over 5 years.
That's nothing. What?
Apparently, that's... it's the largest contract in sports history.
At that time?
Well, at that time, yeah.
Surely, not in history, surely. What year is this?
1969.
Okay. Okay, yeah,
probably
maybe.
For the time.
I was going to say, because I know a lot of different athletes who are on a way more than that.
$1 million contracts and things.
Wait, you said 70, sorry, or 60?
1969.
Okay, cool. I was going to say, because like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson are coming up. Like, surely they're getting paid more.
Yeah. So I imagine this is referring to that time.
Yeah.
A standoff occurred.
I don't know if that's a lot of money.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
A standoff occurred between the owner of the Buffalo Bills. OJ threatened to become an actor and he didn't want to play football anymore.
Okay.
The owner agreed to pay OJ.
Wait, that was his...
OJ was like, no, I want to
Bro,
make...
I'll literally become an actor right now. You watch me.
You pay me or I'm going to do movies.
Jesus Christ, what a bad bug.
Remember how I was sitting before doing my research and I was like, imagine if...
OJ became an actor.
Instead of an NFL player.
We probably wouldn't be talking about him, would we? Like, he probably wouldn't... I don't know if he'd become big. Was he good at acting?
Well, I did read a story that Arnold Schwarzenegger told that... James Cameron originally thought about casting OJ as the Terminator character. That
yeah, but I'd also argue that he is also not a good actor, so...
Oh, bro, bro. I can't even do a Schwarzenegger. Anyway.
It's okay, I don't think he can either.
So, OJ was expected to be a star player.
Yeah, he's been made the most.
But he struggled in his first 3 years.
Three?
Yep.
5 year contract?
Yep.
Oh, no.
In 1972, after continuing to stay average, so 3 years later, as I said, and a few coaches later, Coach Lou Saban utilised OJ in the team's offence. For the next 4 to 5 years, OJ would break a number of NFL records, including ones that were long held, and his career in NFL therefore took off.
Okay, so they changed his position or just played him?
Yeah, so the coaches came in and pretty much what I gathered were they weren't using him to his full potential.
Yeah.
And then this other coach came in and was like, no, I'm going to put OJ here. And that's when it all went.
Okay, cool. So we just got a situation of just misused potential. Okay, cool.
1974, OJ...
Do you know what kind of record?
Sorry. Yes, I do touch on the records. We'll get to that. In 1974, OJ did pick up his acting career.
Boy.
He appeared in The Klansman and The Towering Inferno.
Can't say I've seen either of those.
Neither do I. In 1977, OJ only played 7 games during the season due to injury. I'm not sure what injury, but
it's
he
pretty,
didn't.
It's pretty
yeah,
common.
Yeah. OJ appeared in a TV miniseries called The Roots. Can't say I've heard of that one either.
Can't say I've heard of that one. These are like 70s shows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, like, Happy Days.
OJ meets Nicole Brown while she's working as a waitress at a nightclub.
Yep.
While still married to Marguerite, he begins dating Nicole.
That's a crime, isn't it? Isn't polygamy... I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
One day we will find out if polygamy is a crime
or
not.
I assume it wasn't known that he was dating. I don't know how that could have...
Yeah. Sort of dodge.
Before the 1978 season, OJ was traded to the San Francisco 49ers and played there for 2 seasons.
See, I've heard of them. Like, I don't even follow the sport, but they're a pretty big team, right? Yeah. I've heard of the 49ers, definitely.
His final game was December 16th, 1979, in which the 49ers lost.
No.
So this is what I am coming back...
Hold on a sec. So that's 69 to 79?
Sorry?
69 to 79 is his playing career, so 10 years?
Yeah, roughly. Okay.
Is that, I don't know how NFL careers, is that a long career or just a average one?
I hope someone can tell us.
Wait, how old, he was born in 49, right?
Yes.
So he's 30 when
he retires.
He's
30 when he retires.
Okay, yeah, I think 30 is the normal retire age for us. What's that?
So this is what you asked.
What's your Kimmy record?
This is what you asked me before. OJ gained 11,236 rushing yards.
Yep.
I don't know what that is.
That's yards you've ran.
Okay. Which placed him at number 2 in the NFL's rushing record at the time.
I'm going to say that's a complete guess. I have no idea.
At the time, he's now 21st.
Oh.
In that list.
I guess as people just get more athletic.
He was named NFL Player of the Year in 1973. He is the only player in NFL history to rush over 2,000 yards in a 14-game season.
That sounds pretty good.
There are other records and things he did, but they're the...
Hey, what's a yard?
Dunno.
How many meters is a yard?
Dunno. During his NFL career, OJ was nicknamed the Juice, and this was essentially a metaphor for power and speed.
And also his name is OJ.
Yeah.
Which is orange. Yeah.
Brody told me I couldn't refer to him as Orange Juice during this podcast.
It's just not funny. It's just not a funny joke.
Aww.
Like, it's so obvious, but like, it's obviously not funny as well.
I'd like to think I'm funny.
I mean, sure.
In 1979, OJ started his own production company called Orenthal Productions.
Why didn't it call it Juice or something like related to that?
Don't know. Which produced made-for-TV films.
Of course I did.
OJ and Marguerite also divorced this year. So he's been seeing Nicole for 2 years, so I'm not sure whether... I know divorces take a while to finalise, so maybe they did, like, end, but divorce took a few years to get through.
I know in Australia, in 1970, we got the no-fault divorce.
1975.
Yeah, and that pushed a lot of divorces here. Did America have something similar to their, like, legal thing?
I have no idea.
Because I know here, for context, that when we passed that law... The rate of divorces just went up and up.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah,
because you could say that pretty much no-fault divorce.
Yeah, and then you wouldn't have to, like, thing. I don't know if America has something similar. We have American listeners. I'm really sorry for being ignorant about your laws, but it's hard enough to, like, know one set of legal things, let alone in other countries.
I'd have to probably do a whole other degree. In 1985, OJ is inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which was the first year he was eligible. Yeah. So that's pretty impressive.
So he's very impressive by the sounds of it.
OJ and Nicole Brown marry, and over the next few years, the couple had two children.
Okay.
In 1988, OJ appears in The Naked Gun, and would later...
Ah, I've seen that one.
And would later appear in Naked Gun 2 and 3.
Haven't seen the second and third one.
Probably not missing out, but someone tell us.
No, Naked Gun 1 was a pretty one. Good. I just haven't got around to seeing the sequels.
In 1989, OJ pleads no contest to spousal abuse against Nicole. Over the period of their relationship, OJ was investigated a number of times for domestic abuse. In one instance, OJ apparently smashed Nicole's car with a baseball bat. On New Year's Day 1989, Nicole rang 911 and said, "He's going to kill me." In 1992, OJ and Nicole divorced, citing
irreconcilable differences.
That's the word I'm looking for. In 1993, in audio released at OJ's later trial, I mean, I'm not going to hide anything here. Everyone probably knows OJ does go to trial eventually.
Like I said, the case is more famous than him.
So in audio released at OJ's trial, Nicole called 911 in October of 1993, stating OJ was going to beat the shit out of her.
Right, that's not good for what happens later.
No. In 1994, OJ appeared in an untelevised film pilot called Frogman.
What the fuck?
The tapes for this were discovered in his home during the search when he was arrested. The prosecution for his trial did look at claims that during the production of this movie, OJ received military training and one scene involved him holding a knife to a woman's throat. It wasn't included at trial, so...
I mean, what? Imagine making a shitty home movie with your friends, getting like arrested or something, and then like they're like, "Oh, we'll probably use this movie." You're like, "No, there's a reason I didn't release it. It's called fucking Frogman. No one wants that in their life."
Well, is it about frogs? I need to know.
No, it's about military people, isn't it? Is that what they just said?
Is that because they wear green? Maybe frog.
What?
No.
The military people don't wear green.
Oh.
Where are you getting that from?
I just thought they wore army, like...
They wear camouflage.
Isn't that green?
It's camouflage! The clue was in the name.
Moving on. June 12th, 1994. Ron was working at a restaurant in Brentwood, Los Angeles. Nicole called to say her mum had left her sunglasses there when they dined earlier during the day. The glasses were found in a gutter outside the restaurant, and Ron said he would return them after he finished work.
That's still a cuter story of how people met than ours.
You put popcorn on my seat.
That wasn't how we met.
No, but you've done
Moving that. On.
Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman were found stabbed to death outside Nicole's residence in Brentwood. Nicole was aged 35 and Ron was aged 25.
How long after this was the sunglasses? Like, What's the gap there?
A few hours.
What?
So he finished up his shift. I'll get
how
to...
How well did they know each other?
I'm getting to that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm so confused. Yeah. It just sounds like...
It's
like,
not just a random, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
No, they knew each other. Sorry.
Cool. I
for clarification, they knew each other.
I thought it was just dropping sunglasses over and got stabbed. I thought they were like lovers.
No.
That's always the story I've been told. Yeah.
No, we'll get to that too.
Do I just not know this case? No, I thought they were like dating on the side and that's one of the reasons he did it.
No.
Okay, cool. So, I'm just an idiot. Yeah. All
right. Nicole, 35, Ron, 25. Nicole's body was shortly found after midnight in a fetal position and had been stabbed 7 times in the neck and scalp, and she had a 5.5-inch wound across her throat, which severed her carotid arteries.
Okay. I'm just going to assume you said that right.
The wound was so severe it nearly decapitated her.
So pretty aggressive kind of knife swipes here.
Yep. A bruise was found on Nicole's back, thought to be made by a foot, so someone's put their foot on Nicole's back.
As they grabbed their
and
head.
And pulled her head or hair and then...
That's so aggressive.
Slit her throat.
Jesus. Nicole, I can see why Jack doesn't listen to this now.
Nicole and OJ's children were in the home at the time of the murder. They were out just... to set the scene, the murder occurred outside. I'm not...
outside the front door?
There was a big, like, mansion type.
Oh, okay.
One, yeah. So, because Ron was there, what I'm assuming is she's gone outside to meet Ron and be like, oh, thanks for returning my sunglasses. How the children didn't hear anything, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
Hmm.
Ron had been stabbed multiple times. But nowhere near the severity that Nicole had been attacked.
Okay. Do you know who was stabbed first?
Nicole.
Okay.
Near Ron was the offender's cap and a left-hand glove, size extra large.
Sorry, a cap?
Yep. A blue cap, I think it was.
So just a nondiscreet blue cap?
Just a cap.
No hair fibres?
Well, they'll come up at trial, yep.
Okay, cool.
Evidence showed the assailant had walked away, not ran. I take it they worked that out from the footprints and
distance. Blood.
Yeah.
And sweat, maybe?
Yeah. Time of death was ruled about the 10 p.m. mark, somewhere between 10 to 10:30.
Okay.
There were no signs of forced entry into the home after the murders, and there was no evidence anyone had entered the home.
So we're not talking a home invasion?
No.
Okay. So, or a home invasion that's really well done. Wink.
And the kids just didn't see anything.
Maybe they're in on it.
Brody. So back to what you asked me about Ron and Nicole. Ron apparently met Nicole 6 weeks before they were killed when he borrowed her Lamborghini. Don't ask me how
what
that worked out. Some of these things are really strange.
All these people have cool friends.
But yeah, apparently Ron asked to borrow her Lamborghini. That was how they met.
It's got some pizza vomit vibes of like friendship here.
They often went to dance clubs and out for coffee.
Why don't we go to dance clubs?
Because they're shut. Because we're in COVID.
I mean, that didn't stop us before.
True.
I'm just saying, maybe we should live a little.
Because you don't like the feeling of piss on your shoes in the nightclubs.
You don't know what I'm into.
Okay, it's getting weird. Friends and family confirmed the relationship was purely platonic.
Oh, okay. So no... Okay, cool.
The police concluded that Nicole was the target. I think that's easy to conclude from the severity. And Ron had perhaps interrupted when she was being murdered to return the sunglasses.
God, that's really unfortunate timing for him.
Yeah.
Because I always thought...
A few more minutes or anything like that.
Don't know why I had this intention that, like, they were dating. I think... This is going to sound really stupid. Please don't judge me, listeners. But I think it's a Family Guy joke. Where they make, like, I don't know. I just always had this impression that they were seeing each other.
No, apparently it was just purely platonic, and I mean, there was a 10, not to say that age gaps aren't common in relationships, but there was a 10-year age gap.
Yeah, but like
too.
OJ and Nicole have an age gap, like that's
not...
Yeah,
true. Nicole reported a set of house keys were missing from her house a few weeks prior to her murder, which were conveniently found on OJ when he was arrested.
Did he have a reason for this?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know if he ever gave one.
Cool.
Maybe that... She'd left him with access to the house in case something happened to the kids.
Yeah, but she's already come on record saying they were missing. Unless she just
misplaced.
I don't know if you've misplaced an item with someone.
I also don't think you'd give your quote unquote abusive ex husband house.
Were they still friends after the breakup?
I think they were very friends to the point where they had children.
Civil.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. A woman's shelter reported that Nicole had confided that she felt like her ex-husband was stalking her in the days leading up to her murder.
Mm-hmm.
According to friends of Nicole, Nicole stated OJ had told her if he ever found her with another man, he'd kill her.
Right.
That's all hearsay, though.
So maybe your boy didn't interrupt. Maybe they were just, like, returning the sunglasses, having a casual chat, and OJ was doing, like, a nightly watch of the place?
Yeah, but now you're implying OJ was stalking her.
Okay, let's just imply that he was, because she said she was feeling threatened.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's a scenario, but, like...
Again, it's all hearsay.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't...
That's weird. Yeah. It shouldn't be hearsay, though, because we have a lot of evidence.
I mean, there's no denial that OJ was abusive.
Yeah.
But as for the stalking and...
Yeah, we're talking, like, court records of that.
Yeah.
This isn't one of those things like before with Tiger King where it's like speculative abuse. No, like
he
this
was
is,
abusing her.
Yeah.
And there's, I believe if you were interested or anything like that, there are images you could find on the net.
I don't think you should be searching for that.
No, but you can find that were used at his spousal abuse.
Yeah. It's just recorded, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
OJ was scheduled to fly to Chicago to play golf the next day.
What is it with... I've noticed that golf is more popular than I thought it was as well. Like, a bunch of AFL people are posting about how they're going to play golf and they love golf. Is golf fun? Am I out of the loop here?
Maybe it's only fun for me when I get it in the hole.
I feel like that's... Yeah, but every activity is more enjoyable when you're succeeding at it.
Yeah.
I'm sure croqueting would be super lit if I was really good at it.
His OJ's limousine driver, Alan Park, arrived at 10:25 p.m. to pick him up. He stated that he did not see OJ's Bronco outside at this time.
Sorry, what time's the murders?
Between 10 and 10:30.
10:25, he's getting picked up.
The limousine driver's arrived to pick him up and he can't see OJ's Bronco.
What time difference is there between the two houses?
Good question.
Do you not know?
I don't think it's very far. I think they're both in Los Angeles sort of area.
Cool.
I don't think, yeah, it's not like an hour drive or...
Would you say it's within walking distance?
Possibly.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Would you say if I was a famous running back who was quite known for being
quick...
You'd
probably make the distance, yes.
Yeah, cool. I'm not Dory. I'm a chubby podcaster. So.
But someone correct me. I didn't actually do that research.
Yeah.
Investigators reviewed the position, so they when they went to OJ's house the next day... they looked at where the Bronco was parked the next day, and if it was parked in that position the previous night, the limousine driver would have seen it.
Okay.
So he said he can't see the Bronco, so...
Yeah.
The limo driver buzzed the intercom at OJ's house at 20 to 11, so 10:40 p.m.
Yeah.
He got no response.
Where was OJ meant to be this late at night?
In his house.
No, but, like, where was he heading to in a limo?
Chicago
to play golf.
Yeah,
at 10:40.
Like he was flying out to Chicago to play golf at 10:40, but he was
That. But like, how long does it take? Like a
Los Angeles, Chicago. I don't know what the.
God, I wish I was American. Sometimes. I assume it's an overnight flight.
Yeah, so he got no response on the intercom.
Mm-hmm.
He said nobody appeared to be home. He testified he saw a shadow of a figure resembling OJ emerge from where the Bronco would later be found parked and approach the entrance of the house.
Okay, cool. So OJ did do it. He was driving.
I
like how my version is he sprinted. Yeah.
The individual that the limo driver saw reconsidered going through the front door and went through a walkway, which is where the right bloody glove would be found, which matched the one at the crime scene that I've mentioned.
I know this case has a lot of evidence that seems like it's obviously pointing at OJ, and that I know he gets off still, but am I going to be frustrated at the end of this?
Well, you know that he's not convicted, so
yeah, but
probably.
Am I going to be frustrated by the overwhelming amount of evidence?
Possibly.
Okay, cool. This is one of those episodes too that I was hesitant about doing because there's so much dispute around it. Like, a lot of people still believe OJ didn't do it, and I'm not smart enough to have an opinion that I'm strong about.
I'll let you know my thoughts later. There is one opinion I do have. It's not technically regarding OJ's guilt or innocence.
I think the one thing that annoys me most about this case and several others is that the only person focused on is OJ.
Yeah.
Like, so if OJ didn't do it, which, I mean, the court said that he didn't, there's no documented case of a killer for these murders being found, and that's really...
So there are other theories that have been looked at,
yeah, but
though.
No one cares about them. No. I know it sounds rude, but, like, no one seriously cares about.
I mean,
about
at the end of the day, two people were murdered.
Yeah, when you talk about this case, it's did OJ do it or did he not?
It's not the deaths of Nicole Simpson and Nicole Brown.
Sorry, it's like, did OJ do it or not? You answer that question. It's not, we don't talk about other theories, and that's kind of annoying. I hope you go into it a little bit.
Yeah, I have found some theories.
Because that's something I found frustrating listening to this case, that we just focus on OJ.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I found with this case. Okay, well, if OJ didn't do it, who did? Like, what are the other reasons this might have happened?
I feel like you could almost do, like, a process of elimination. Like, you reveal the other suspects and you just knock them out one by one. Then you could just, like, go back and reveal it, be like, well, this has the strongest evidence, so hypothetically, this is the most, like, Occam's razor, I guess.
I guess people would argue...
Probably shouldn't be Occam's razor in cases.
I guess people would argue, though, that OJ's case was the most convincing. He just didn't get a conviction.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Back to what we're doing.
So, the same person that the limo driver has seen in the walkway entered the house shortly after and the lights were turned on.
Okay.
When OJ did enter the limousine, he had 4 suitcases.
Yeah.
When he boarded his flight, he had 3. Police believe he discarded the murder weapon and his bloody clothes in that suitcase.
Never found?
Which were never recovered, no. Okay. No. So, June...
That's really smart, if that's what he's done.
Yeah. I don't know how frequently the trash is taken out the airport.
I don't like giving props to killers, but no, just being lost property, wouldn't it? If you discard it at the airport.
I feel like they'd check that, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm. And I also feel like they would have, like, immediately gone, oh, okay, well, the other one's at the airport, let's get through the bins, but it'd probably be too little too late.
We're talking 90s, right?
Yeah, 1994.
So there'd be phone records if you called someone to be like, hey, can you take your suitcase and destroy it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So June 16th, 1994, OJ began assembling what would be known as the Dream Team for his defense. Can you name any of the members?
There's Kim Kardashian's dad,
Robert Kardashian.
There's Cochran.
Johnny Cochran.
There's a guy called Shapiro.
Robert Shapiro.
Who's not related to Ben Shapiro.
And there's one more.
And there's...
F. Lee Bailey.
Yeah, that's the one people don't talk about, right?
OJ stayed the night at Robert Kardashian's house after, obviously, not yet.
This is pre-Kim fame, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So they're only young.
Okay, yeah.
June 17th, 1994, the LAPD informed Robert Shapiro OJ was a person of interest in the murders and was to be arrested that day.
Wait, hang on a second. So he formed his dream team and then they said he was a suspect?
Yes. I mean, I don't think it's that far-fetched for OJ to go, I am the ex-husband who's been indicted on spousal abuse. They're going to look at me.
Yeah, fair.
I don't think that's an unreasonable...
Yeah.
And, yeah. OJ didn't turn himself in.
This is the famous...
We're getting there.
Yeah.
At 9:30 a.m, Robert Shapiro went to Robert Kardashian's house to inform OJ. And OJ said he'd turn himself in. Police agreed, because someone as famous as OJ wouldn't just flee. The police agreed to delay OJ's arrest until 12 p.m. so OJ could call his mum and children.
Were you going to say have lunch?
He updated his will and wrote 3 sealed letters. One to his children, one to his mother, and one to the public. Okay. The contents of the public letter is out there if people want to look it up.
Yep. Anything?
It came off as a suicide note.
Yep.
That's what it came off as.
Okay.
When police arrived, because, you know, they probably got real sick, they were like, come on, OJ. OJ was gone. And hence the famous Bronco police chase, driven by his long-term friend, Al Cowling.
See, you say chase. I've seen that footage. He is basically going the speed limit,
yeah,
if not
they
less. You say chase. That's a very...
From what I remember, OJ, they were worried OJ was suicidal.
Yeah, wasn't he in the back of the car with a gun?
There was a gun in the car, and they didn't want to spook him.
No, but, like, the Bronco also isn't going very fast. No. I've seen that footage.
So, I'm sure you can give me context on how incredible it is that this took over the TV. But TV interrupted the coverage of the 1994 NBA Finals. So, I don't know if that's a big...
I don't think basketball... I know basketball had a weird phase where it wasn't very profitable and was almost going under. So, this is probably that phase.
The event had...
But also, this is one of the most famous... clips in TV history.
The event had an estimated 95 million viewers.
What's the space landing at? One sec. I just find out. Right, so I did a bit of Googling. 650 million people watched the Apollo 11 landing. So.
Ah, so OJ's not quite up there.
Nah, and Muhammad Ali, I think, also outdraws him. But that's still pretty big for, like, breaking news.
OJ was indicted on both murders and stated he was 100% not guilty.
Okay.
Jill Shively, or Shively, testified around the time after the murders, she saw a white Bronco speeding away from the murder location. This testimony was not included at trial.
Well, yeah, you said after she testified.
Yeah, so this was when he was being indicted. So yep. It wasn't included at the trial.
Yep.
Jose Camacho provided receipts which showed OJ had purchased a 12-inch knife 6 weeks prior to the murders. The knife was located, but tests showed it had never been used. The oil they used to... when they
sharpen it?
Produce or sharpen it.
Yeah.
Was found...
like, still intact.
He's still intact.
So he hasn't even cut, like, basic things.
No, so he hasn't used it. OJ's defence team argued that the murders were drug-related. I will touch on this theory a little bit more.
Okay.
That
is that common for a defence attorney to come up with an alternative, like...
Sometimes it's not admissible at court.
No, but is it common for them to be like, okay, this is what our client didn't do it, this is what we think.
This is the alternative, but sometimes those alternatives aren't admissible.
Yeah, that's cool. That'd be like the coolest job of being a lawyer, just like coming up with like, this is, you get to do what you basically do.
Now, so basically they killed Nicole because they were looking for her friend, who was a known cocaine user who failed to pay for her drugs. The reason this sort of comes up is because the friend that was the cocaine user was staying with Nicole until she went to rehab just 4 days before the murders.
Okay.
There wasn't any evidence to back that up.
Okay, so hold on a sec. If they're doing that and they like were looking for this one lady in particular and they searched the house, surely they come across the kids.
Yeah, well, they didn't enter the kids. Yeah, sorry. They didn't enter the house.
I hope they didn't enter the kids. Yeah, there's no evidence of forced entry or anything, is there?
So, if it's drug-related, surely they're searching... They're taking
things that are worth...
Or alternative theory, they're killing Nicole and Ron and panicking.
But then they've lost all leverage. Like,
if
you're there for a job and you're like, okay, I'm going to get some money back or try find someone who owes us money... Like, even if you kill a few people, you're like, well, may as well cut my losses now. I'm like...
Yeah. Jury selection was difficult because of OJ's celebrity status.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to find someone...
Also, the race aspect, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to get into that too.
Yeah.
10 jurors had to be dismissed all up.
Didn't the Dream Team keep finding reasons why the jury couldn't be there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can't remember off the top of my head, but...
Wasn't the first jury all white?
I think so.
Yeah.
The prosecution and the defence get a set amount of people they can choose to remove off a jury selection.
Yeah, you're right.
But in response to what you just said, the final jury had 10 women, 2 men, 9 were black, 2 were white, and 1 was Hispanic.
It's weird to choose women in a case where
the guy is known... What I was reading was that they were trying to avoid white women in particular because of the domestic abuse, which they knew was probably going to be...
Yeah, it's a hot button issue.
But they went with... I mean, I can't remember which lawyer came out and said afterwards that they 100% played the race card.
I mean, like, if you're trying to get someone off, why would you not?
Exactly.
I mean, like, let's talk about, like, courts are basically a competition between two people.
That's the what truth, the adversary system
yeah, the,
is.
Yeah, the truth is relative, right? The truth is just something you have to, like, work towards, and then the rest of the court is just the playing grounds. But you're basically trying to prove that you have, quote-unquote, the truth.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah, well, no,
Well, the prosecution is trying to...
Yeah, the prosecution has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
Not the defence. Yeah. The defence is trying to poke holes.
Yeah, and that's, like, that's what the adversary system has done to the legal system. It's no longer... It's not like the, inquisitorial system where you present your facts and it's processed... Like, it's, you know, looked over by someone who is an expert in the law and that sort of thing. It's just two people trying to impress... a jury of people who probably aren't that knowledgeable on certain things, and you have to play to that, and that's just... It's just a shame that the legal system has become that, really.
So, the...
I don't think the inquisitorial system is better, having one person decide the fate, but I also don't think the adversary system is very good at what it aims to achieve. I don't know if you agree, but...
That'll come up in my problems with this case.
Yeah.
The race thing's really important to remember, because in 1992 there were serious riots related to, I think, the Rodney King death was a police brutality, yep. I think. So there was a lot of tension between African Americans and black people.
I don't think it's just that. I think that's been a common trait.
I mean, it's always been. But just to paint a picture, it's very tenuous.
Yeah.
At this point in time, so the jury worked the case for 265 days, which is a record.
Yeah. You don't get paid, do you?
No. So I didn't get chosen for jury duty, but basically if you are port selected to sit on the jury, your travel fees are covered. If you're casual, you're not paid.
Is this America's system as
well? Yeah, America's system could be completely different.
Because I feel like that would be a factor if you're on a jury, right? And say it's beyond a reasonable doubt and there's like two people who don't agree that it's like it happened. Sure, you're going to get pissed off at those two people. You're going to be like, mate, I've been here for hundreds of days, can you just agree with us so we can go home?
In the OJ, what's it called, the Netflix one?
People
versus OJ Simpson. Yeah. They portrayed that the jury were just at each other at that point.
Of course you'd be.
They were just exhausted.
Yeah, of course you'd be. Especially because you said two white people?
Yeah, and one Hispanic.
Yeah, so if it becomes a race-related thing, you've got two white people who probably, I don't want to stereotype here, but probably don't have the same opinion as the group that obviously have a different aspect to approach this case at, and then you get real heated with that. Like, this case is just, like, it shows the flaws in the legal system so perfectly. Like, adversity system doesn't work, jury selection doesn't work when the two sides get to choose a jury. It's not just randomly selected. They can choose people based on their world views, their race, their religion, their sex, everything. And that's just, like, it's just a horrible way to do things. They screen people and give them interview questions to make sure they'll agree with them.
They had, with the OJ case, they did have, the judge chose the questions, and it was questioned, one lady was asked or dismissed to leave the jury because in the questionnaire, she was asked about being a victim of domestic abuse, and she said no, and it later came out she had been, and that would be a bias to
the... You don't throw the whole jury out in that situation for her maybe turning people...
No, well, they didn't.
Yeah. I thought it was a thing where if the one jury was corrupt, you just throw the whole lot out. I'm not sure, though. I'm not an expert in the legal system.
So the prosecution gave the story that on the night of the murders, OJ attended a dance recital for his daughter, in which he had not... So he'd obviously moved on with a new partner.
Mm.
He hadn't invited this new partner, according to prosecution. In response, his girlfriend broke up with him over, like, left an answering machine message, apparently breaking up with him.
Over not going to a dance recital.
That's what the prosecution said. OJ apparently went to Nicole's home to attempt to reconcile with her after his girlfriend had broken up with him. And after he was rejected, he attacked Nicole, and Ron was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
So that's what the prosecution's going with?
I honestly think one of the only things that's correct in that is that Ron was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You don't think it was a reconcile? What do you think about a stalking theory, though?
Possible.
Oh. Yeah. Which one do you reckon holds more weight here? Come on, back me up.
I think
it just makes sense, right? She's putting in complaints that he's been harassing her, and maybe he's just doing like drive-bys—the wrong word here—like surveillance of her house.
Drive-by surveillance. Yeah,
and like he just sees Ron. He's like, "Wow."
I don't think that's far-fetched.
Yeah,
but as for his girlfriend breaking up with him, and him going, "Oh, that's all right. I'll go and see if my ex-wife wants to get back together." I think that's a little bit. Yeah, I think that's a little bit less.
As two people who've never been divorced, I don't know what it's like having someone like that who you've known for years and have kids with and not being able to have that connection anymore.
I just feel like it didn't go that quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, if he has CTE, he could have been confused and then went to the person who he thought he still had a relationship with. Maybe had a bit of dementia and forgot that their relationship wasn't as strong as it was. And then he saw her with another man and kind of got confused and thought that she was cheating on him.
I think it'll 100% be interesting when OJ does pass.
Yeah. Because, like, we haven't... I
haven't looked at CTE at all with my notes, purely because I can't say yes or no. It's just a possibility at this stage that because he had an NFL career...
Yeah.
And he's never said he's had concussions, or he probably has, but he's never come out and said, oh, I've had this many concussions.
Yeah, I think we're probably jumping on the OCT because it's just...
But that's definitely going to
be I don't know how much impact running backs take either.
That's something that's probably going to be looked at upon his death, though, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how much, like, impact and concussions running backs go through. Yeah. If I find out, maybe Jack will tell us, but I'm not quite sure.
Our forensic chemists agreed that OJ's DNA was found on blood drops next to bloody finger footprints at crime scene. OJ's DNA was found in the trail of blood leading away from the crime scene. OJ's, Nicole's, and Ron's DNA was found inside OJ's Bronco. OJ, Nicole, and Ron's DNA found on blood on a pair of socks in OJ's bedroom. And basically, the chance of that being anyone else's DNA is a bazillion.
Yeah. So, what's the Dream Team saying to dispute this?
Ah, we will come to that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Hair found at the crime scene was consistent with OJ's. Clothing fibres from a shirt OJ had been wearing at the dance recital were found at the crime scene. The shirt was never...
Oh, so he did go to the dance recital.
Yep. The shirt was never...
That's
found.
That's good.
The shirt was never found.
Yeah.
The shoe prints at the crime scene matched a size 12, the same size as OJ.
Yeah, but that's quite common, right?
The defence argued that the killer could have worn the wrong size shoes during the crime to disguise their shoe size.
That's some pretty big brain...
The shoes were an Italian brand. I can't remember what brand, but OJ, quote OJ, why would I wear those ugly ass shoes?
I mean, yeah, so I don't know.
We just had Jack get back to us. So running backs are hit pretty hard in every play they're involved in.
I assume they're running towards the defense and get like a bit of bang. So yeah, look, CT is looking pretty possible.
But again, we have to wait until OJ's death.
I mean, like, if you were on trial for murder and someone's like, oh, your shoes match, they're Italian, you probably would be like, I don't wear Italian shoes.
Probably.
Yeah.
The defense argued that evidence had been mishandled during the collection phase and that all of the DNA from the real killers had disappeared.
Yeah. How long did you say OJ's career was? 10 years. Yeah, because Jack also said that average career for a running back is like normally 3 to 4 because of the amount of impact they're taking.
Oh, wow, okay.
So OJ had quite a long career.
Lengthy career, yeah.
Yeah, in regards. So, look, I don't want to say CT because that's the easy answer, but it's hard to dispute, right?
When you look at other case studies like Aaron and Chris.
Yeah.
The criminalists themselves admitted to making mistakes during evidence collection.
Oh, no.
The defense argued evidence was cross-contaminated and some types of evidence had been planted by police. So...
Why?
Because of the race. That was their argument.
But why would you go after... Oh, because he's the ex.
And because he was black.
But you could pin it on a black gang and it'd be a lot easier because they couldn't afford a good legal team. If you're going for the race-ish thing, there's a lot easier targets than... one of the most successful, like, NFL players in history. Like,
so with this, the cross-contamination theory was addressed by other forensic criminalists and forensic scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And
your people.
I know you're about to say to me that I'd say anything for a huge amount of money, but Henry Lee is a very, very famous forensic chemist and someone I
really... Nah, I think saying that people take a payout and, like, a bribe is just the easy answer.
Hang on. He's one of my, you know, someone I really look up to and aspire.
He's your daddy.
No. And he testified that it could have been cross-contaminated.
Okay. Yeah, I think paying out is the easy answer here. Like, people, I don't think everyone would take a payday just to say something.
As I said, I 100%...
I mean, I would, but I'm also a terrible
person. I 100% know there was a lot of money involved in this case, but I also trust someone of that capacity. That I know myself is, you know, very dedicated to...
Okay, what about if someone you like, say, Joe Watson, was in OJ's situation? Would you defend him as well?
That's all I'm saying. And if the criminalist collecting the evidence can make mistakes, Henry Lee could too.
Yeah.
But I would rate him as a credible.
The problem with most science is that humans are fallible, right?
I would rate him as a credible source regardless.
Yeah. I can take your advice here, Miss Future Honours Student for Chronology.
Thank you. So this is where it gets interesting, and I completely forgot about this part.
Okay.
So, when one of the criminalists, Mark Furman, was asked on the stand whether he had planted or manufactured evidence in this case, he invoked his Fifth Amendment right and refused to answer. Wait for it. Also during cross-examination, Furman stated he had never used a racial slur towards African Americans. Wait for
That's
it.
That's a weird thing to...
Wait for it. The defense discovered a videotape where Furman used the word 41 times, recorded 8 years before the murder.
We're saying N-word, right?
Yes, we are.
Maybe he forgot...
That he said it 41 times?
So he's lied under oath as well, right?
Yeah, so what he tried to say to kind of wiggle his way out of it.
Yeah, but you say that. I would say I've never said the N-word that much, but there's probably evidence on Facebook that has me using it and just...
When you were like 15.
Yeah, not knowing. But this guy's not 15, right?
He was interviewed and for something, I can't remember what he was interviewed for, and this is where the 41 times comes from. And he said, oh, I just said it because, you know, I was trying to play, you know, I was trying to put it on. I was trying to act.
Put on racism?
Apparently.
America's weird, man.
Yeah, so he's never said a racial slur, but did say it 41 times.
Yeah. Not looking good for him.
The prosecution asked OJ to try. So the case is falling apart for the prosecution, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it shouldn't, though.
It's falling apart.
What the? How are they bundling this? It's about to
and truly fall apart. The prosecution asked OJ in probably the dumbest move, and in the Netflix thing, you can literally see, like, in his face, he's like, I shouldn't have done that.
Mm.
Asked OJ to try on the gloves found at the crime scene.
Didn't OJ have history of arthritis? Yes. Am I wrong?
Yes. And he was taking medication, yes. And that could inflame the hand, make it not
fit. And the glove was frozen?
Yep, I'm about
Thus
to say.
Thus shrinking it?
I was about to say. The gloves had been frozen and unfrozen several times.
So it's shrinking them.
The glove...
How did they bundle this case, man?
The glove appeared too tight for OJ to put on easily.
Wonder why.
The prosecution argued if he was acting... Like, the prosecution was like, oh, he's acting, struggling to try and get the gloves on. To which Johnny Cochran retorted, you can't act the size of your hands. This led to...
What a fucking hero.
This led to one of the most famous quotes in legal history. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
So... I know we don't talk about, like, weird topics off-top that much, but on that, it's interesting to see the power of, like, short, quick phrases like that. We saw it in, like, the election in 2016, like, the Make America Great Again, right? Like, people are really drawn and catched in by just short, quick slogans.
It was just, I mean, whether you think, like, I always say...
Was that off the top, do you reckon?
Yeah, I always say this to you, like... Johnny Cochran is just up, along with Henry Lee. I get to talk to two people I really look up to in the criminal legal world. And Johnny, whether you think OJ is innocent or guilty, Johnny Cochran was
incredible. Like I said,
incredible.
The legal system has become a game and Johnny Cochran is an amazing player.
And that quote, I think, would have probably almost cemented.
You could imagine, right? You're in the jury and someone's like, oh, I think he did it. And you just sit there all day and just say, if it doesn't fit, we must acquit. And you just keep chanting that, right? How long in a jury situation do you reckon if I was sitting there chanting that to you, you would just give up?
I think straight up I'd be like, well, yeah, that sounds pretty logical.
You could do that all day. Anytime someone brings up an argument, you just go, doesn't fit, must acquit. Mm. And you just keep doing that until a person just cracks. And it works, right? Like, you saw it with the MAGA thing. You just keep chanting, make America great again, and the people just crack, like... What are you meant to do? Like, is this a strong saying?
October 3, 1995. Leading up to the verdict, there was fear race riots would start if OJ was found guilty. The jury returned with a verdict of not guilty for both murders, a verdict which approximately 100 million people turned into. Following this not guilty verdict, OJ cannot be tried again due to double
dissolution.
Double dissolution, that's politics.
Oh.
Double jeopardy, meaning you cannot be tried for the same
crime.
I'm
so dumb. Wait, can't you do it at a higher court, though?
I don't know about America.
Okay, I know in Australia you just take it to the next court, right?
Mm.
Do we know the numbers for the jury? Do we know the split?
We do.
What is it?
Unanimous.
Oh, 12?
All 12.
Jesus Christ.
It took them 4 hours. After 200 and something days.
Yeah, like I said, imagine my 4 hour, like, puppet or someone just sitting there chanting that. Man, I crack in an hour. I'd be like, I'm so done with this. I'm going home.
Reactions to the verdict had a racial context. Most African Americans felt justice was achieved, and the majority of whites and Latinos argued there was no justice. Much of the black community in Los Angeles at the time felt they had been oppressed continuously by the Los Angeles police, and this was a victory for them.
Do you think that this case became less about who killed Nicole Simpson?
Absolutely. I think OJ himself took away from it, and I think the racial context took away from it.
It's interesting to see that we have a system of, like you said the jury was majority female, right?
Yes.
It's interesting to see that if that's true, right, and they were racially motivated, that they've chosen to back their race over someone who was domestically abused and then killed by an abusive partner.
Because they've been sold, yeah.
They've been sold the race thing. And, like, I know it's hard. I don't get the American context of, like, race. I know that African Americans and black people in general have been treated terribly by their system, by everything. But at some point, like, the legal system should be above that. The legal system should be, what are the facts, what's the evidence, and it's just not. It's a competition. It comes down to catchy little phrases like, if you know, it doesn't fit, it must acquit. It comes down to out-moneying your opponent, and it's just, this case shows all of it.
Yep.
Even if OJ OJ didn't do it right, this case still has evidence of police, probably, like, police corruption, apparently, lying, like, just that sort of thing. And
so while we're here, because I don't think there's anywhere else for me to sort of mention it, but I think OJ probably should have been convicted. I think there is a lot outstanding there that probably should. Hang on.
He was tried in the civil case, wasn't he? Hang on. Yeah.
I'm just letting you know my theory. So I don't believe in OJ's guilt or innocence per se. All I'll say on it is if I sat on that jury, I would not have convicted him.
Just because
I think that the prosecution bungled it. I think the defense completely, everything the prosecution hit at them, they were able to fight.
Who would have known? Johnny Cochran is a very good lawyer.
Yeah. I think it comes down to, as you've said, it comes down to the money that OJ had to pay for Johnny Cochran, Shapiro, Kardashian and Bailey.
The other guy. He's like the Ringo Starr of this legal team.
So, yeah, that's. I don't believe in OJ's guilt or innocence.
Is the civil system, like, is that less lawyer-focused? Because I know that you only do damages there, right? There's no prosecution. I
think so, yeah.
Sorry, not prosecution. There's no jury, right? It's just
there's no jury, no.
It's interesting to see that in a case that doesn't involve a jury, he was found guilty.
Mm.
For damages. I assume the damages were.
I'll get there. Yeah. Juror 44, Lionel Cryer, gave OJ a Black Power fist salute at the verdict. It came out later that Cryer was a former member of the Black Panther Party, and the prosecution chose not to remove him from the jury.
It's hard to not say this was racially pushed when you have
things like that.
Yeah.
Many jurors later admitted they believed OJ was guilty, and this is where I stand on it. The prosecution didn't provide a convincing case beyond reasonable doubt.
Yeah, that's the problem, right? Like, even, I mean, we have to have a high burden of proof so people don't get locked up for no reason, but also that burden of proof sometimes lets people off.
And I think the prosecution's biggest mistake was the glove.
Do you think the good parts of that system outweigh the parts that fail? Like, do you think that it's stronger than it is weaker?
I don't have an alternative for the adversary system. I really don't. I don't think the inquisitorial's
trial by seeing if someone is a witch.
Yes, true.
Salem trials.
If
they float, they're a witch.
I have seen alternatives such as a judge only trial.
That's just inquisitorial, isn't it?
Isn't it? Oh.
Wouldn't it just be you giving your evidence to the judge and then the judge making a verdict?
Oh, I didn't realise that was the same as the inquisitorial.
Sounds pretty similar.
Oh.
But you also have the problem of, like, what if the judge is white and then everyone complains because a white judge found a black man guilty? Like, it's the same thing. If the judge is biased? Like,
I've got some other theories for you, as you requested.
Hear me out, bro.
Brent Cantor, who was a part-time owner of the club of a club where Ron had worked, and Nicole was a regular.
Is this where the sunglasses were left?
No, different club.
So he had several jobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was found stabbed to death in 1993, 1 year before Ron and Nicole's murders. OJ's defense team requested to use the case, as all three victims were stabbed in the same manner, but to a point, because Nicole's brutality was a lot. Yeah.
What was the motives behind these stabbings?
But behind the Brent one.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Okay.
Some have argued Nicole and Ron were working in drug trafficking through Nicole's friend who used cocaine, and this is why they and Brent were murdered.
What did Nicole do for a job?
She was a model, I think.
So, it doesn't seem like she needs... She lives in a mansion, right?
Yeah.
So why would she need the extra income? Also, isn't it just a coincidence then that Ron, on the day that he had to return...
There's a
phone call of this, right? This conversation about sunglasses. Mm. So there's evidence of him being there for a reason. How did the people know he was going to be there if it was the phone?
Yeah. Unless they followed him.
Unless he was regularly staying over, which it doesn't sound like he was. Because they're just friends.
A lot of these theories are unfortunately drug related. The death of another associate of Ron, Michael Nigg, was shot and killed in an unsolved murder in 1995. Theories suggest another drug trafficking.
Yeah, but I feel like drugs are pretty common occurrence in these, like, for everyone. I know friends who, don't quote me on this anyone, but I know friends who deal drugs. I know people who buy them. I know people who have, you know, a lot of, relationships with them. Like, you could just make the same argument about me, that ex-friend dealt drugs and therefore I got killed because of that.
Mm.
Drugs don't seem that I know when I was a kid, I thought drugs were like this rare thing that like 1% of people do. But no, they're quite common. Like a lot of people use drugs of varying degrees, and a lot of people have connections with a drug trade in some way, either as a consumer or seller.
My last theory: in 2012, links were made between the murders and crimes of Glenn Edward Rogers.
I've heard of this guy.
Glenn's brother stated that Glenn had met Nicole and stated he was going to take her down a few days before the murders. I don't know why he said that. Apparently he's just going to take her down.
Just, okay.
While in prison, Glenn created artwork associated with the murders.
Yeah, but he also sounds like he's a bit...
Like, the facts were all out there, so...
Yeah, he sounds like he's a bit deranged. It's not uncommon for people to take credit for murders they didn't do.
In an interview, Glenn stated he was hired by OJ to steal some jewellery and was supposedly told by OJ he might have to kill the bitch.
But he didn't steal jewellery.
Nope, didn't enter the house.
Exactly, so... What? Hey, can you steal jewellery? You might have to kill someone, but also just... Like, what?
Glenn's family stated he had made verbal threats about Nicole to them.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
Yeah, that's all I've got for that one. There's not much that goes against OJ.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the bottom line is, okay, if it wasn't OJ, then...
Who was it?
Why didn't we investigate other lines of inquiry that...
It's also weird, though, because, like, we can't even be like, oh, OJ was never found guilty, because he was, just not in the criminal justice system. He was found in the civil. That's weird, right? Does that often happen?
No.
I feel like if you're guilty in one court, it normally troubles over.
1996, a wrongful death suit was filed in the civil court by Ron Goldman's family. This continued into 1997, and no television or media were allowed in the courtroom. I imagine that was after the sensation of OJ's trial.
Yeah.
OJ was granted full custody of his children in 1996 while that was ongoing.
Yeah.
1997, a civil jury found OJ unanimous?
Yep.
Liable for the wrongful death of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown. OJ was ordered to pay $33,500,000 in damage.
$33,500,000 is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
$33.5 million?
That one.
That's a lot.
The Goldman family did try to collect OJ's yearly NFL pension, but they were unsuccessful. I don't know why that was stopped, but they couldn't get it.
They probably just...
Yeah, I don't.
If he has assets.
Yeah. OJ was unable to pay his mortgage and the property. So the property was closed and later demolished.
Okay.
2000, OJ gives up trying to trademark OJ Simpson, OJ, and the juice.
But they're very...
He was trying to trademark them.
They're very common use words, right?
If he trademarked OJ, we couldn't say, hey, you want a drink of OJ?
Well, you could. You just pay him money. No, but Happy Birthday was also copyright. You ever paid for Happy Birthday in your life?
Nope.
Yeah, it only works when you're trying to make money off of copyright. Hang on. What was the first one? Was it just OJ Simpson?
Yes.
I feel like other people are also called OJ Simpson. You have one OJ, no. And the juice, are you being serious? No, you're not copyrighting that.
So that was just a fun little one.
It's like those guys who try to
throw in there for you.
It's like the guys who try to copyright the word React. Like, that's a common word. You can't just.
2001, OJ is arrested for battery and burglary of an occupied vehicle and for removing the glasses off a motorist in a traffic dispute.
Was he broke?
No.
So why is he. What?
He's not broke yet.
Why is he doing a bank robbery? How much did the damages from the civil court do to him, like financially? Do we know?
So he didn't have enough to pay. Like, once all these assets were liquidated,
so he wasn't rich anymore.
He wasn't rich, but he still had his pension coming in. Which
did he have things paying off that he like maybe wanted to rob a bank for?
I'm not sure. But anyway, these crimes could have landed him a maximum of 16 years in jail, but he was acquitted.
Happens a lot to him, eh?
2003, Robert Kardashian dies. 2005, Johnny Cochran dies.
Are you going to be like 2005, the sex tape comes out?
No. I don't know what year that was.
Why do you not have that in your notes? Come on.
2006, OJ films Juiced. Okay, so what I get out of this is it basically is like Punked. Like Ashton Kutcher Punked.
You mean Scotty and the Ninjas on OJ, Prank Patrol?
So OJ pranks people. Then at the end of each prank, he would say, you've been juiced.
I hate that.
Same.
Why would I watch that? Punked exists.
Exactly. I don't know how he didn't get, like...
Was this during the Jackass craze?
2006, when was Jackass?
Yeah, around that time. I think Jackass was pretty popular when I was a kid, so... I feel like he's just trying to cash in on that kind of, like...
I think he was looking to get any money at this point. Which brings me to my next point. OJ was taken back to court by Ron Goldman's family over television deals and the proceeds from his book,
If I Did It. Yeah.
2007.
Isn't that the book where he literally says how he did the murders?
Yeah.
Why do you have to write about that? Just say what happened.
Just admit.
Do you know how he said he'd do it?
No, I don't. I haven't read it. Maybe I should. Well, I don't think. Can you? Yeah, because the proceeds go to them. You should be able to buy it.
Did he write that before or after his Dream Team people started dying off?
After.
Okay, so I wonder if they were advising
him. Oh, I don't know. Johnny Cochran was 05.
Oh, he's not paying him anymore. Why would they care what he does?
Yeah, maybe.
Doesn't he have, like, a manager still, though? Wouldn't his manager be like, dude, don't...
Manager for what?
His wife. Most celebrities do.
That's it.
Okay.
He's doing his own thing.
It's always bad when celebrities, like... He's seen it with Twitter a lot recently. Like, they just say stuff. Like, celebrities say some dumb shit. And this is why they should probably have a manager being like, don't say dumb shit.
In 2007, OJ and a group of men entered a room at a casino, a hotel room, and took sports memorabilia at gunpoint. OJ was questioned by police and admitted to taking the items. He said they'd been stolen from him, but he denied breaking into the hotel room.
Why not just go through the legal system to get them back? Why would you...
Hang on, can we just backtrack? OJ, yes, I stole the items, but didn't break into the hotel room.
Invited in?
Thanks, OJ. And he denied that anyone was carrying a gun.
Okay.
OJ was released. He paid his bail. 2 days...
How?
Stole money.
Why is he trying to steal shit?
$250,000 too, the bail.
Why is he trying to steal shit? What the fuck?
2 days...
I feel like he just gets roped into stuff. Like, his friend's like, you want to go rob something? He's like, yeah, why not?
2 days later, OJ is arrested. And charged with multiple charges, including conspiracy, kidnapping, assault, and robbery.
Kidnapping?
I think there was 14 charges in total.
Does he get off? Don't tell me he gets off.
All of OJ's co-conspirators agreed to plea deals to testify against him for reduced sentences.
Okay. They're like, they're giving up. They're like, he's a ringleader. Don't you dare say he gets off.
A judge ruled OJ could not collect any royalties from the book and TV interviews. Just coming back to that in the same year.
Yep.
A Florida court gave the rights of OJ's book to the Goldman family.
Can you do that?
Yep.
But he
was auctioned, so they brought the rights.
Why couldn't he collect rights?
Because they took him to court and said he shouldn't be able to, I think something along the lines of he shouldn't be able to obtain royalties for the murder.
But he, you know, hopped in a civil case he was guilty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The book was renamed If I Did It, Confessions.
But hang on, how does the Wall Street guy get away with it? The Wall Street guy?
I don't know.
I guess because he didn't kill anyone. I don't know, man. Moving on.
The book was renamed If I Did It, Confessions of a Killer, with the if made really small. So it said, I did it.
Can they edit the book then?
Yep. Because they have the rights. They also included bits as well themselves.
Okay. Like a little, like fact things, I guess. Or like this
interviews,
is what
I think, or something. Yeah. Okay. 2008, OJ and a co-defendant who hadn't taken a deal were found guilty on all charges.
Sucks for that guy who didn't take the deal. Everyone's like, mate, jump off the ship, it's sinking. He's like, nah, you know, go sick with the juice, man. Got him.
Not good juice.
No.
OJ,
juice is off.
OJ was sentenced to 33 years in prison with parole after 9 years.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Done. I'm so done. This case is... This man is frustrating, man. Like... Oh.
In 2016, a survey showed that 83% of white Americans and 57% of black Americans believe in OJ's guilt for the Nicole Simpson...
So it's kind of shifted. Murder. Yeah.
2017, OJ is granted parole after serving just under 9 years. OJ still owes millions in compensation for his civil lawsuit to the Goldman family. As of 2019 to 2020, OJ has a Twitter account with a steady Twitter following.
No, is this where
he likes to talk about fantasy, NFL, and golf.
He also released a thing, I think, during COVID, like where we are now. He's like, if all the golf clubs close, I'll go crazy. Everyone's like, oh, no.
He doesn't help himself.
So that's it?
That's the end of my research, yeah.
So...
Is OJ guilty or innocent, Brody?
I think I agree with you. He's probably guilty, but the prosecution bundled it, man. Like,
I think they also had an uphill battle, but you know, with like such a set of lawyers that were.
Yeah, I hate answering simple questions with convoluted answers, but I think it's like a thing, right? Like, yeah, he's probably guilty. No, not. They didn't do a good job in court, but also the court system is flawed in the first place. And, like, I'm not smart enough to have a good answer, but it's just frustrating to see cases won with money, right?
I think the most frustrating thing, the bottom line, is that when you think of the murders, it's O.J. Simpson.
Mm.
It's not Nicole Brown.
You could say the same with Benoit, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You could say the same with Aaron Hernandez, all the famous, like... killers have that same thing.
And I think the worst part is that, okay, if OJ... it's tricky because he was tried in the civil court, but if OJ's not the offender, should the police have looked further?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like they didn't try, but, like, you've got a guy. Also, I don't disagree with people, you know, the whole race side. Like, I feel like if I was also African-American and seeing that trial, I would probably side with OJ just based on... That's how people work, right?
And how the times were after, like, the Rodney King.
Yeah, you want some, you know, to get back. But also, you let a woman who was suffering from domestic abuse from a quite well-known celebrity, you let her murder go without someone who was probably clearly fit for the role. And that's not on the prosecution. Sorry, that's not on the jury. That's on the prosecution for bringing a weak case to a trial that was... massive, right?
And as I said, I think the minute the prosecutor asked him to try on the glove, that was the worst mistake.
Yeah, because you got that catchy, quote-unquote, meme.
And we've shown that there's different things that would have shown why OJ's hand didn't fit at the time.
We've seen it throughout time. Like, if you have a catchy saying and you're enough of a colder personality, you can convince anyone anything. And when you have a prosecution who's shown to lie under oath, who's shown to not answer questions about certain
criminal
things.
Criminalists who have said that, you know, we didn't collect evidence correctly and I didn't say racial slurs and I've never said racial slurs.
The problem with most of these cases, and the thing that's frustrating with me, I don't know if our listeners are getting the same vibe, but all of them seem to be bundled by the people who this is meant to be their job.
Mm.
Like, I'm not saying police work is easy, I'm not saying any of this is easy, but come on. Like, what are we doing here, you know?
Maybe it was well put together, but then under oath, the criminalists were like...
Yeah, and that's also just a problem with, you know, you don't want people to lie in court, but some people get real, like, tilted by, you know, you're under oath, don't lie. And, like, if you've got someone like Johnny Cochran literally telling you, like, blah, all these questions, I'd panic. I'd shit myself.
Yeah.
I'd be terrible in court. I'd pass out, dude, from panic. Like, even if I was just there to, like, give a testimony or as, like, thing, I'd just be so nervous.
Yeah, as I said, I think that the prosecution and Double Jeopardy are the issue there for that case.
But I'd rather we have Double Jeopardy so you can't just keep
taking someone and just putting them through trial after trial until you get the verdict.
Because then you just have the same problem that people with money would just drag people with less capital through court until they bankrupted them.
Exactly, so it's not...
Yeah, courts are expensive. Lawyers are probably overpaid, let's be real.
All right, well, let us know. What do you think about OJ?
It's been a long one, so if you're stuck in with us, thanks for that.
What do you think about OJ? Guilty or innocent? What do you think about the adversarial system? Yeah, just let us know. We're still taking suggestions. We do have the next 4 weeks lined up. We've got... What have we got, Brody?
We've got Elisa Lam.
Next week.
Yeah. We've got the Renault Crashgate from Formula One.
Then we have...
We have the Alcatraz escapees on the anniversary of their escape.
I didn't plan, but...
Worked out quite well. And then we have Jeffrey Dahmer.
Which might be a bit of a popular one to
look out. Get some fans in.
I actually just finished watching Conversations with a Serial Killer on YouTube, which is a Jeffrey Dahmer interview. So.
And I just finished watching the race where Crashgate happened. So we're feeling quite informed, feeling big. I know a little bit of Lisa Land, that'll be interesting. Maybe we'll just do a whole one on the hotel in general. Who knows?
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. I've been Robin.
I've been Brody. Bye.